The Almost Series by Irony Rocks, read by Opal. Part 1, The Morning After. The morning after had been pure torture. They had no choice but to pretend like nothing happened the night before. Couldn't risk the others finding out they had slept together. Maintaining the normal impression of everyday John and Elizabeth in front of everyone else had been tremendously difficult for both of them. In the morning, they'd had to avoid eye contact with each other as they purposely emerged out of separate transporters into the gate room. She had to fight down the heat that crawled up her neck when his hand brushed hers as they reached for the coffee pot at the same time and touched digits. Had to struggle for composure as memories of the previous night played over her mind while he perched, trying to be ever so casual about it, against her desk like he always did. If he hadn't spent an insane amount of time watching her out of the corner of his eye today, stumbling a bit when she brushed past, smiling a little too tightly as he delivered his jokes to the others, she would have suspected he was entirely composed and in his element. As it was, she was intensely aware of his presence for every second that they were in the same room. By the time their morning debrief was over and they were forced to go their separate ways, John to training practice and Elizabeth to an administrative meeting with the heads of the Geological Survey Committee, she was almost thankful for the separation. Except she wasn't. She couldn't stop thinking about last night. About the various levels of wrong, dirty, and oh my God, yes, things they had done to each other. Well into dawn. Sleeping with John was going to be a horribly messy predicament. That hadn't stopped either of them last night, and she knew it wasn't going to stop them from continuing it. The dam had been broken. There was no returning to the way it was now. They had both agreed early morning, before they left her room, that this hadn't been a mistake. They just had to be careful. Had to be discreet. By mid-afternoon, when the senior staff had come to the conference room for their weekly meeting, John had apparently found his sea legs in the new stormy weather they were faring. While Elizabeth still tried her best to fight down the blushes, the nervous tics, and the overwhelming paranoia that the others knew exactly what was going on, John had slipped into his old, casual persona, with added smirking. Elizabeth didn't often fidget, but she couldn't help herself. She had to keep her hands preoccupied with various things, holding the cup in her hand, fiddling with the pen, scribbling pretend notes down on her notepad, anything and everything to avoid acknowledging the fact that John was staring at her across the conference table with a knowing look, an expression that often hovered on lewd. He was playing over a dozen fantasies about her in his mind right now, and she just knew it. Their current meeting about fiscal responsibility was absolutely the last thing capturing either of their intentions, and she prayed fervently that no one would notice their unusual behavior. Despite being Dr. Elizabeth Weir, the internationally acclaimed, intergalactically acclaimed leader of the Atlantis expedition, Elizabeth found herself feeling like a damn schoolgirl who wanted to skip class and make out with her boyfriend in the nearby broom closet. But the meeting wore on, never ending in a way that proved that relativity of time wasn't just a theory. When she'd eventually stifled a yawn, John had leaned back in his chair with a smug look upon his face. "Up late, Elizabeth?" "Yes, lightly." Elizabeth froze and then threw him a warning look, trying to quell the blush that threatened to spread upon his face, across her cheeks. Work. His eyes turned amused, mischievous, and Elizabeth wanted to wipe that damn smirk off his face before the others caught on. "You should really get to bed at a decent hour, Elizabeth," he glanced sideways at Carson. "Don't you agree, Doc?" Before Carson had even acknowledged his words, Elizabeth's eyes had narrowed into slits. "I, Elizabeth," Carson predictably agreed, oblivious to the death glare being sent across the table towards John. "I know lately it's been a grind, but you need to get more rest. You work too hard." "Oh, God." "Too hard," John echoed after, bracing his elbows on the table. "It's really been a grind. I say if it comes to it, we implement a curfew for her. What do you think, Doc? In bed by 10? Elizabeth could hear the unspoken words in her head. He'd be fully willing to take personal responsibility to seeing her in bed at an early hour. That smug bastard! Pausing for a moment to collect herself, Elizabeth suddenly realized that as last night had attested, she could give as good as she got. That two could play this game as well. "Yes, thank you for your concern, Colonel." Elizabeth cut in and then waited until John casually slipped from his coffee mug before continuing. "Just last night my work really managed to nail me hard." John choked and sputtered, sending a spew of coffee across the table. Well, fantastic, Rodney snapped, grimacing as he picked up several items from the tabletop, including his own coffee. I understand that multitasking might not be your forte, but surely you can swallow and sit at the same time. Elizabeth passed John a napkin, innocently asking, "You all right, John?" He snagged the paper, a little red-faced. "Fine. Just fine. Good." There was a warning in the word, only meant for John. They had to be discreet. Elizabeth's definition of discreet, not his. They couldn't afford this type of behavior to continue. The rest of the meeting passed without such a blatant incident, although she was well aware of John's attention had become slightly fixated on the pen she chewed upon. Elizabeth wasn't a complete angel, after all. When the meeting drew to a close, John hung back while Elizabeth pretended to need extra time to gather up her things. Carson and Rodney were too absorbed in a conversation of their own, and as they made their way out, Elizabeth tried to tell herself she wasn't going to let this progress out of control. She was intensely aware of how easily that could happen. The walls of the conference room that functioned as dividing slits and entryways were still wide open. Elizabeth purposely didn't close the walls because she was fairly sure things would progress into dangerous territory if they were left to their own devices in privacy. Instead, well aware that people could walk by the hallway at any moment and see them, managed to ground Elizabeth's wayward thoughts. "Colonel," she began, picking up the last of her things. But then John's warm breath was on her neck. He was suddenly standing directly behind her, barely a sliver of space between their bodies. "Yes, doctor." Elizabeth's voice dropped to a whisper, although for the life of her she couldn't make herself move away. "John, what are you doing? The doors are open." "Just standing here," he teased, and the warmth of his breath tickled her ear and sent a shiver down her spine. She nearly jumped when he boldly reached out to brush the curls of her dark hair aside, exposing her neck. She couldn't force herself to move, torn between the thought of people walking in on them and her body's warming reaction to the proximity of John. She was split, conflicted, and her mind wasn't playing catch-up as nearly as quickly as her body was. "What are you doing for dinner, Elizabeth?" he asked, his voice husky and low. Elizabeth reiterated to herself that John Shepherd was a bastard, a complete and utter bastard who had no redeeming qualities whatsoever. "Because I was thinking of a picnic," he continued, and his hand crept slowly around her waist, slipping around her belly and under the hem of her shirt. The warmth of his hand, splayed against her bare stomach, cast her mind back to some of the more interesting things his hands had been doing to her last night, and her eyes slipped helplessly shut. Her skin burned where he touched her, sending heat straight through her entire body. "Picnic?" Elizabeth repeated mindlessly, clearing her throat and pivoting on her heels. She turned so they were face to face, inches apart. The dark look in his eyes made her pulse speed up. The conference room was still wide open, vulnerable to anybody that chose to walk by and look in, but Elizabeth couldn't make herself care. Besides the hand John had shifted to settle on the swell of her hips, their bodies weren't touching. They were just extremely, dangerously close. Elizabeth turned teasing, bold, and leaned forward to snag her fingers around John's belt. His breath caught in his throat, and when Elizabeth tossed him a look that dared him to continue teasing her, he lost the use of his own voice as his breathing turned labored. As she slowly heard the snap of a button on his pants being loosened, she smirked. "Actually, I have other plans for dinner." Maybe she had time to teach John who the boss of this relationship really was. "You two coming?" They both jumped apart and found Rodney standing in the doorway, his head buried in a mess of paperwork in his hands, completely oblivious to what he had just interrupted. John quickly redid his button. "Not anymore, Rodney," he murmured darkly. Rodney looked up, bewildered. "What?" "Nothing," Elizabeth assured, face flushing. "We'll see you in a little while. John and I have some things to discuss." John traded looks between the two of them, and it said something about just how off they were acting that even Rodney was picking up the oddities. "All right, just hurry up, will you? I need to talk to you about the gross misappropriations of fiscal allotment to the bioengineering group. Now, I understand that their work has uses on occasion, but all the other groups, mainly the physics department, ended up pulling the weight of everyone else, by which I mean mainly me." Elizabeth tuned him out as John's warm hands settled on the small of her back and propelled her into motion. "Yeah, Rodney," John cut in distractedly. "We'll get to that soon." They left Rodney shouting after them about percentage sharing and the rates of successful experimentation per subgroup, and so on, and so forth. John continued to quickly propel Elizabeth down the corridor. She could feel the press of his body behind her. But Elizabeth made no move to pull away, because she was well aware that the obvious signs of his physical arousal would be too plain to see. That, more than their physical proximity, would assuredly raise more alarms with the passerby. Besides, Elizabeth realized their definition of personal space had been altered and diminished long before last night. People probably wouldn't even look twice at them walking down the hallway like this. "Your room or mine?" John muttered under his breath. "I don't care," Elizabeth replied, and shivered as his fingers brushed against her skin on the small of her back. "Whatever's closest."